a Jew seeking to represent Judaism as he becomes the first Israeli in space, pens the Hebrew letters of a prayer sanctifying the Sabbath. These letters fly through the air, surviving the fiery inferno of an explosion, to be found and deciphered by a fellow Jew. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 107, The Soul and the Scroll. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is one of the resonant moments in the recent history of Israel. Ilan Ramon, the first Israeli in space, addressed his countrymen in Hebrew from the space shuttle Columbia. As he did so, he held in his hands a tiny Torah scroll, and he told its story, which is movingly described in the film Space Shuttle Columbia, A Mission of Hope. The Torah had belonged to a Dutch rabbi, Simon Dasburg, who had utilized it in order to organize a bar mitzvah in a concentration camp for a boy by the name of Joachim Yosef. Rabbi Dasburg did not survive, but Joachim Yosef became a scientist in Israel and an associate of Ramon, who was so taken with the story of the Torah that he asked to take it with him on the Columbia. Of course, the story of Ramon's own journey in space ended in the tragedy of the Columbia explosion during re-entry. But both before and after that terrible event, one can find aspects of Ramon's story that highlights his own greatness and a profound connection between how this astronaut represented Israel and the Jewish people and an episode that occurred almost 2,000 years before. Over the years 131 to 135, the rebellion of Bar Kokhba rose and then was crushed as Hadrian leveled his generals against the Jewish forces. The Roman historian Cassius Dio writes, quote, "First of these was Julius Severus, who was dispatched from Britain, where he was governor, against the Jews. Severus did not venture to attack his opponents in the open at any point, in view of their numbers and their desperation, but by intercepting small groups, thanks to the number of his soldiers and his under officers, and by depriving them of food and shutting them up, he was able, rather slowly to be sure, but with comparatively little danger, to crush, exhaust, and exterminate them. Very few of them, in fact, survived. 50 of their most important outposts and 985 of their most famous villages were razed to the ground. 580,000 men were slain in the various raids and battles, and the number of those that perished by famine, disease, and fire was past finding out. Thus, nearly the whole of Judea was made desolate, a result of which the people had had forewarning before the war. As the rebellion fell, rabbis associated with resistance to Roman decrees were themselves executed. These rabbis are remembered today as the Asara Harugei Malchut, the 10 martyrs, or literally, the 10 killed by the kingdom, a number that includes both those that were executed by the Romans during the first rebellion and during that of Bar Kokhba. With the exception of Rabbi Akiva, whom we shall discuss tomorrow, the most famous story concerning the 10 rabbis is about Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, who, as the Talmud tells us, was burnt alive while holding a Torah scroll. His students implored him to hasten his own death by breathing in the fumes, but he refused, his courage inspiring the executioner to end the rabbi's pain. I quote the Sincina translation of the famous story. Quote, "Straight away they took hold of him, wrapped him in the scroll of the law, placed bundles of branches around him, and set them on fire. Then they brought tufts of wool, which they had soaked in water, and placed them over his heart, so that he should not expire quickly. His daughter exclaimed, 'Father, that I should see you in this state.' He replied, 'If it were I alone being burnt, it would have been a thing hard to bear. But now that I am burning together with the scroll of the law, he who will have regard for the plight of the Torah will also have regard for my plight.' His disciples called out, 'Rabbi, what seest thou?' He answered them, 'The parchments are being burnt, but the letters are soaring on high.' 'Open then thy mouth,' said they, 'so that the fire enter into thee.' He replied, 'Let him who gave me my soul take it away, but no one should injure oneself.' The executioner then said to him, 'Rabbi, if I raise the flame and take away the tufts of wool from over thy heart, will thou cause me to enter into the life to come?' 'Yes,' he replied. 'Then swear unto me,' he urged. He swore unto him. He therefore raised the flame and removed the tufts of wool from over his heart, and his soul departed speedily. The executioner then jumped and threw himself into the fire, and a bathkol, a heavenly voice, exclaimed, 'Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion and the executioner have been assigned to the world to come.'" End quote. It is an incredible image. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion is asked by his students, "What do you see?" And he responds, "Gevilin nisrafin va'otiot porchot." The physical parchment burns, but the letters themselves fly unaffected into the air. It has become one of the most resonant tales of Jewish eternity. The letters of the Torah are eternal. They are essentially the soul of the Jewish people. They cannot be destroyed. They embody the miraculous, eternal nature of the Jews themselves. And for those that know this Talmudic passage, it was impossible not to think of it when watching the image of Ilan Ramon's extraordinary broadcast from the Space Shuttle Columbia. As one can see in the film, when the signal was sent out, "Jerusalem, this is Houston, please call Columbia Shuttle for voice check." When everyone tuned in to Israel's first astronauts broadcast from space, Ilan Ramon held Rabbi Dasberg's Torah, and he said to his countrymen in Hebrew, "Ze sefer Torah katan shelifnei 60 shana, yelet katan beBergen-Belsen kibel oto me'arav shel Amsterdam, shelimed oto likrat bar mitzvah." This is a tiny Torah scroll that 60 years ago, a young boy in Bergen-Belsen received from a rabbi of Amsterdam who taught him for his bar mitzvah. V'achshav hu iti b'chalal, and now it is with me in space. Zechevel mikasher ma'od miragesh. This is a tie that binds, that is incredibly emotional. Zemiatzeg yoter mikol. This represents above all, hayecholet shel ha'am hayudi, the ability of the Jewish people. In other words, to survive and to thrive. And for a moment, for one incredible moment, overcome with emotion, Ramon lessened his grip on the Torah, and it began to float further toward the heavens. Rabbi Dasberg's daughter, interviewed in the film, reflected, "Sheze haya drishat shalom min hashamayim, siman chayim min ha'avar." This was a hello from heaven, a sign of life from the past. Watching the film, one sees the Torah float, and suddenly one of the most well-known Talmudic stories from one of the most difficult moments in Jewish history is brought back to mind, as the description of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion is instantiated before our eyes. The letters float upward. The letters survive. Of course, Rabbi Dasberg's Torah, along with Ilan Ramon and his fellow astronauts, was lost when the Columbia exploded upon reentry. But that does not mean that Ilan Ramon is completely gone. At a memorial for the Columbia, Joachim Yosef and Ramon's wife, Rona Ramon, met another astrophysicist, Henry Finichel, who, as the film tells us, showed them an almost identical small Torah scroll, which was given to him by an elderly cousin who escaped Nazi Germany, a Torah scroll that had also been hidden in Bergen-Belsen. This Torah scroll was taken up to space by the commander of the shuttle Atlantis, Steve McLean, who said that he felt an obligation to continue what had been started by those who were on Earth no longer. And this is not the end of the story. Remarkably, the diary of Ilan Ramon was discovered in a field in Texas. It had survived the explosion, the fall from the sky, and the elements. An Israeli was tasked with the sacred charge of ensuring that the pages of the diary could be read. A wonderful article from Aish.com, which we have sent you, tells us the following. Quote, "Sharon Brown was one of the many thousands of Israelis who gathered around their television sets back in January 2003 to watch the launch of the Space Shuttle Columbia, which included in its crew the first Israeli astronaut, Ilan Ramon. Along with her four daughters and her husband, the British-born Brown felt a surge of pride as Ramon was launched into space. We said the Tfilat HaDerech, Jewish travel prayer, for him," she recalled. "Little did Brown, a superintendent in the Israel Police Division of Identification and Forensic Science, realize that a year later she would play an integral role in reconstructing the last days of Ramon's life aboard the shuttle. At the beginning of April that year, less than 2 months after the Columbia's tragic disintegration which killed all the crew members, the flight diary and notes of Ramon were found in a Texas field. The task of painstakingly restoring the heap of tattered paper that had been exposed to rain and sun after hurtling 38 miles to Earth fell to forensics expert Brown." And we're further told in the article that Brown said she was amazed that the metal ring cardboard-bound notebook had even survived. "What happened was, we got a pile of papers. I imagine they'd be charred, blackened bits of paper, possibly with some light source that you'd be able to see some letters in Hebrew. Well, they walked in with papers that were white with black handwriting on it. They were a bit tattered and traumatized, but nothing like you'd imagine from the huge explosion that took place 40 miles up in the sky and then being hurtled down to Earth. It was truly amazing," she said. End quote. It is indeed amazing. And to me, there is one element to this part of the story that is the most inspiring. Ramon, while in orbit, had sought to ensure that he represented the Jewish people on his trip and sought to mark the Sabbath in space. He had clearly taken pains to prepare because the article describes the letters on the pages of the diary that were deciphered by Brown. Quote, "One of the pages contained the handwritten Sabbath prayer of the wine, the Kiddush, which Ramon had written out in order to be the first Jew to recite the blessing in space. Brown said that because of her religious background, she was able to piece together the scattered letters that remain on the page. When I speak about the diary to a non-religious audience and I say, 'I found this word and this word,' what could this document be? They usually don't know, But when I ask the question to a religious audience, they answer right away, it's the Kiddush, end quote. Let us ponder this, ladies and gentlemen. A Jew seeking to represent Judaism as he becomes the first Israeli in space pens the Hebrew letters of a prayer sanctifying the Sabbath. These letters fly through the air, surviving the fiery inferno of an explosion, to be found and deciphered by a fellow Jew. The letters survive. Judaism survives. The people endure. A faith made manifest by one of the 10 martyrs executed by the Romans is vindicated in our age. Story merges with story, and the eternity of the Jewish people is made manifest once again. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.